Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. I pray now, God, that you would bless as your word goes forth. And may a fresh anointing rest on this word, that somebody who is hearing would hear from you, and in hearing from you, would respond to you in a way that is pleasing in your sight. Have your way today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All of us have been called at one time or another in our life, whether it was a phone call or a verbal call or a physical gesture. We have all been called or summoned at one time or one point in our life, and the decision has to be made once somebody calls you how you're going to respond. I remember as a boy growing up, before we had a remote control television, and I was the remote control, being called into the room whenever my grandmother wanted the television station changed. It didn't matter if I was in the front yard, in the backyard, or I was in another room in the house. If she wanted to change, she would call, summon me, and I would go, and I would have to change that channel. That was one of those old televisions. You remember when you went past the station and you'd have to go all the way back around to it to get back to that station. And I can remember when she called me, I had a choice. It didn't matter what I was doing. She called me to do something specific, and that was to change the channel. And I was thinking to myself, every one of us has been called to do something at one time or another. We may have wanted to do it, may not have wanted to do it, but we always had a choice whether we would respond in a positive way or not. But I want you to know, as many of us as have been called by other people to do something or respond, there's really no greater call that you can get on your life than a call from God. There's no moment more significant than when God calls you. I've talked to people. Some of you may have said, I'm waiting on God to speak to me. Somebody else, you may have heard them saying, I'm hearing God, but they still haven't moved. And I would argue, my brothers and sisters, that the greatest tragedy in life is not whether or not you hear from God, but when you do hear from God, the failure to answer him, the failure to move in the affirmative. So today I want to begin a series that I want to look at over the next several weeks entitled How to Become a Great Person for a Great God. Because I believe there's greatness in us, but we will not discover the greatness that's in us and walk in that greatness until we learn how to recognize the greatness of God and the greatness of God's plan for our life. Today I want to begin that series by talking to you from the thought how to answer God's great call on your life. How to answer God's great call on your life. Our text today is Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? And if you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are, you can go to our church app, the Good Hope Church, and download the app and find a fill-in-the-blank version of the sermon there, or go to our website at goodhope.org. Four things I want you to see in our text that I hope and pray, as simple as they are, you will obey so that you can answer God's great call on your life. Now, the Gospel of Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus and chronicles his birth and his persecution and his movement from the land of his birth to the land of Egypt. By the time we get to the end of Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is about to begin his earthly ministry, and he receives God's divine stamp of approval, saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." right on the other side of getting this approval from God, the text says that he was led up by the Spirit, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It's the devil's last chance to derail the ministry of Jesus before it gets started. And the Bible says the devil tempts him, chronicling three areas that all of us are tempted in: the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus successfully navigates the temptations of the master, and he begins to preach in Matthew 4, 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." We get to verse 18, and Jesus begins now to make his move to put together those who would be part of his team of disciples. And it's in verse 18 that our message begins today. Here's the first thing I want you to see if you're going to answer God's great call on your life. Number one, you must hear when the Lord speaks to you. You must hear when the Lord speaks to you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them," stop right there. Matter of fact, underline that phrase, "and he said to them." Peter and Andrew are out fishing. They are fulfilling their vocational responsibilities, out fishing, and the Bible says, while they were casting a net into the sea, fishing, Jesus comes upon them and initiates a conversation with them. Now, here's what's important for you to understand. They did not find Jesus. Jesus found them. And God is always initiating interaction with us by his grace. You don't find God as much as it is God finding you. And here's what the Lord does. He speaks to them. The text says he said to them. Now, what's interesting to me and many people miss is the fact that Jesus does not call lazy, do nothing, going nowhere people to follow him. As a matter of fact, when you look at the scripture, Jesus is always calling somebody, challenging somebody to move from where they are to where he wants them to be. Somebody may ask the question, why is that? Because Jesus, I believe, knows if you're not doing anything before you come to him, the likelihood is you will do nothing after you come to him. Jesus wants to find people who not have time, but who need to make time. Because if you have the time and you're not doing anything with your time, then the chances are more likely that you won't do anything with your time after Jesus calls you. I often have people say to me, Pastor, when you have time, and I just tell them real quick, I don't have time to really do anything. I make time for what I need to make time for. I was talking to a friend of mine, David Hsu. David and I were in seminary together. He's a Chinese brother, loves God. And David asked me to come and do a retreat for him at Trinity Pines for his church. And as we were standing there, I'm a person, excellence is not my goal, it's my standard, and I believe in being on time. And I tell people, we serve an on-time God, so we ought to be an on-time people. And so when 10 o'clock comes, if we're supposed to start at 10 o'clock, I expect us to start at 10 o'clock. Not just me, I expect that anywhere I go. I just respect time. And so it was time for us to start, and 5 minutes passed and 10 minutes passed. And so I'm getting a little anxious, but hey, man, I'm there on their dime. I'm there to do what they asked me to do. So, you know, I'm trying not to, you know, get upset or anything. And finally, David gets upset. And David says to me, he says, "Man, I hate this, man. We always on CP time." And I'm looking, I'm like, okay, wait a minute now. I know I'm up here by myself, but now you just can't say CP time and think I'm going to be cool with that, right? So I'm about to say something to David, because, you know, David and I, we've known each other for years, and I'm about to say, David, man, wait, whoa, we cool, but we ain't like cool like that. You know what I mean? Like, he just can't be saying CB time. And before I can say anything, he said, yeah, man, I hate this, man. They always on Chinese people time. And I was like, oh, okay. So I asked him a question. I said, hey, David, I said, listen, man. I said, where do Chinese people, where do you get this work ethic from that you have? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, man, you know, I grew up in New York, and I would see, you know, Chinese families come into our community, and they open up a restaurant, and man, you know, they trucks would be coming during the day, dropping off vegetables and meat, and they'd be food prepping during the day, and open up, man, and they start serving, and they serve food all night long. And man, I remember looking in the back, and I saw some cots back there, man, where people were sleeping and taking a nap. And I'm like, man, where y'all get that work ethic from? He said, man, we don't have a great work ethic. I said, no, man, I saw it. He said, no. He said, what you don't understand is you saw some Chinese people who have a great work ethic. All of the lazy Chinese people are still in China. And it hit me at that point, right, that a lot of times we don't realize that it takes a decision and a commitment to put the work in. Jesus doesn't call us to something unless he's calling us from something. Look at Hebrews 3:15. And it is said, as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. See, the danger is not that God isn't speaking. The danger is a hardened heart that won't listen. Matthew 11:15 says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus emphasizing that hearing in this context is not just physical, it is also spiritual. Some people have the ability to hear auditory sounds physically, but don't have the wherewithal or the spirit to listen spiritually. He says you've got to be able to not just hear, but you've got to also have the opportunity to listen. So if you have your phone and you get a phone call, but your phone is turned off or your phone is turned down, it's on silent, and you miss that call, it's not because the other person didn't call. It's just that you weren't prepared to receive it. And I submit to you that there's too many of us, my brothers and sisters, God is speaking, we're just not prepared to hear. So what are you going to do if you're going to hear God? Maybe you need to slow down in life. Maybe you need to silence the competing voices. Maybe you need to stay in God's word. See, I've learned some lessons in life. When you're busy listening to other people talk, it's hard to hear God talk. Here's the second thing. Number two, if you're going to answer God's great call on your life, you must intentionally decide to obey what the Lord commands you to do. You must intentionally decide to obey what the Lord commands you to do. Underline that word intentionally, man. Listen, I've just learned in my life, when you learn how to do things intentionally, be less reactive and more proactive, planning what you're going to do, you'll get much further in life. Listen to what Jesus says, verse 19. And he said to them, follow me. Stop right there. Jesus says, follow me. It's in the imperative mood, which means it's a command and not a suggestion. Jesus is not asking for their opinion. He gives them a choice. They have an option. They can do it or not do it. Jesus didn't disregard their identity. He wants to redirect it for kingdom purpose. So Jesus says, follow me. In other words, here's what the Lord says. I need you, if you are going to do what I have called you to do, to be willing to make some shifts and some changes in your life. You cannot follow me if you're not willing to leave some things behind. See, they had to leave the nets behind. They had to leave the nets, and the nets represented their livelihood. The nets represented their security. The nets represented their identity. So many men, we define ourselves not by who we are, but by what we do. And so here they are, fishermen, making an honest living. And Jesus says, no, I want to know if you're willing to leave it to follow me. I found you fishing, but I'm not trying to take fishing with me. I need to shift your focus. Look at Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Are you going to follow him when he says, follow me? And this is not an issue so much for everybody of salvation. That is an aspect of it. But it's also an issue of sanctification and consecration and commitment. God says, you've got to follow me. Stop asking God to follow you and bless what you're doing. Ask God where you need to follow him so he can bless where he is, and you can be blessed by joining in. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You can't follow new directions if you refuse to leave your current location. And my brothers and my sisters, you can't do something different if you keep thinking the same old way. He says, you got to make a shift. You got to decide, because if you're stuck, you're not stuck because God is stuck. You're stuck because you choose to be stuck. And when you delay obedience, delayed obedience is still disobedience. They recognized they could not follow Jesus and hold on to their nets at the same time. And somebody in here needs to recognize you can't grab hold of where God wants you to be and hold on to where you are at the same time. Here's the third thing. Number three, if you're going to answer God's great call on your life, you must intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. You have to intentionally allow yourself to be changed by the Lord. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 4, and he said to them, follow me, and here it is, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you. In other words, Jesus says, I need you to do your part and then trust me to do my part. Your part is participation. My part is transformation. He says, I will make you. It's not a self-development plan. God says, if you put yourself in my hands, I will make you into what I want you to be. They are fishers of fish. He says, I will make you fishers of men. I will give you a missional reorientation for what you're doing. You can identify with it because you've been fishing for fish. Now let me change what you will be fishing for. So he says, follow me, and I will make you into what I want you to be. Can I tell you a little secret? One of the hardest things in life is to put yourself in God's hand and say, God, make me into what you want me to be. Because we have this crazy idea that our opinion matters to God. We have the audacity to actually think we can suggest to God what God ought to do in our lives. And Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. Can we do our part and trust God to do his part, or do we feel like we have to give God our opinion along the way? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. That by testing you may discern, you may have insight into what is the will of God, not your will. Not your will. And some of you have been fighting for your will for longer than you should. And my question is, how is that working out for you? Somewhere along the line, you need to stop fighting for your will and start accepting what is the will of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's read it together. "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." A caterpillar does not become a butterfly overnight. It is a process. And that caterpillar has to stay in the process. And somebody today, I want to encourage you to stop resisting the process. Stop quitting when it gets uncomfortable. Start learning how to be comfortable in being uncomfortable. Stop running when God starts reshaping you, because growth requires submission. Growth requires consistency, and growth requires surrender. See, God isn't just calling you. He's making a commitment to change you. But you've got to let God have his way. Here's the fourth and final thing if you're going to answer God's great call on your life. Number four, you must intentionally choose to live on mission for the Lord. You must intentionally choose to live on mission for the Lord. Verse 20 says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. No delay, no debate, no negotiation. Now, I already know that's hard for some of you under the sound of my voice, somebody who's watching right now. Because you're one of those people, you want to think about it, you want to process it, you want to turn it upside down, right side up, inside out, outside in. Pray about it, think about it, meditate on it, talk to somebody about it before you even think about moving. But the text says there was no delay, there was no debate, there was no negotiation with Jesus. They left. Here's what I need you to understand. When you understand who is calling, you shouldn't have to hesitate when you give an answer. There's certain calls, depending on who it comes from, shouldn't be no hesitation. Hey, man, if Warren Buffett said, I want you to go in with me on a business deal, and I'm going to pay your investment fee. Oh, we ain't got to pray about that. We ain't got to think about that. Warren called me. Buff, yeah, man, I'm in. Count me in, right? Because whoever makes the call, their credibility helps me decide whether I really need to pray about it, think about it, give them the deuces, or I'm on board. Listen, when Jesus said, follow me, they said, we're in. So they moved from fishing for fish to fishing for people. They moved from making a living to making a difference. They moved from following their plans to following God's purpose. They moved from being defined by their past to being directed by their calling. Because the call of Jesus was really not about a position, it was about purpose. Look at James 1:22. Let's read it together. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, the truth of the matter is, we often make the mistake of confusing content with conviction with a change in conduct. We get good content and good ideas and good information, and we feel good about it. Still haven't done anything with it, but we feel good about the information we got. And oh my God, if that content, if that information is convicting, woo! You know how many times I've had people say to me, oh my God, Pastor, you stepping all on my toes today. Woo, that sermon was rough. But don't make a change in their behavior. They just celebrate conviction. Stepped on my feet today, Pastor. Woo, you got up in my shoes. I didn't even get my feet out of them. You was all up in my. But what you gonna do? What are you going to do? Don't confuse new content and conviction with a change in conduct. You have to make a change in your life. That's why James says, don't be a hearer of the word and not be a doer, because the only person you're fooling is yourself. And when you run around excited about new content and you're excited about new conviction and you do nothing to change your conduct and you get satisfied with that, you just running game on yourself. And listen, it's one thing when you run game on somebody else, but boy, you are bad when you run game on yourself. I mean, give yourself that. You know what I mean? When you just run game on you. Look at Romans 2:13. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. One of my best friends in seminary, Vincent Parker, we were sitting in the student center one day, and he said to me, he said, DZ, he said, man, I got a question to ask you. He said, man, how is it that we got all of this stuff in the body of Christ? We got Bibles and multiple translations. We got 24-hour Christian television and 24-hour Christian radio stations and music and 24-hour access to spiritual things on television and online and conferences and workshops all over the world. He says, and we can produce no better Christians than my grandmama who only had the 23rd Psalm. And the conclusion we came to is because it's not what we know, it's what we're willing to live. A rescue worker doesn't just admire people who are in danger. A rescue worker goes in after them. And living on mission means we make a personal commitment to become a disciple of Jesus, and we make a commitment to make disciples of Jesus. And let me tell you the great tragedy in life. The overwhelming majority of people don't have a mission, and if they did, they are experiencing mission drift. Mission drift is a term that was popularized in the business community for companies that started off on point, on target, and especially as leadership begins to change and shift and founding leaders move off the scene, new people come in and they feel the need to do something new just for the sake of doing something new, even when what was being done was working fine. And so they drift away, and every generation, every new leader moves further and further away from what that original mission was. And the tragedy of life is so many of us have experienced mission drift, not only from where we wanted to be, but more importantly, where God wanted us to be. If you're following Jesus, your life should be helping somebody else know him and helping somebody grow in him. I said earlier, the greatest tragedy is hearing God's call and not answering it. Peter and Andrew answered immediately. James and John responded immediately, so much so that in the next two verses, after the verses of our text today, the Bible says when Jesus walked down a little further and saw them and said, follow me, they left their nets and their daddy and said, we're following Jesus. And because they answered that call, their lives were changed. Because they answered that call, the world was impacted. Because they answered that call, eternity was affected. And so I want to close the day by telling you this. Jesus is still walking by the shores of lives. He's still showing up in ordinary moments. He's still speaking with extraordinary authority. He is still calling and telling you, follow me. And my brothers and sisters, for some of you, it might be a call to salvation. Follow me, come to know me as Savior and Lord. But for somebody else, it's a call for consecration and sanctification and dedication. Because God is saying, you've been where you are, your level of living too long, and I'm calling you now to go to the next level in your life and in your living. See, he's not calling a crowd, he's calling you. God is calling you, so don't ignore him. Stop ignoring him. Don't silence his voice with your excuses. Don't drown out his call because of your distractions. Don't ignore God's instructions because of your intentions. Because when God speaks, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. So when the Lord says, follow me, don't say, I'll do it later. Don't say when I'm ready. Don't say after I fix up a few things. Don't say after I get some things straight, because if you could have gotten them straight, they wouldn't be crooked. God says, just come and let me make you. He's calling. So don't debate. Don't dialogue. Don't negotiate with God. Don't try to edit his assignment. Just learn to say yes. Say yes, God. Say yes. Say it, not whispering. Say it with your chest. Say it with your outdoor voice. Say yes, God. Say yes, God. Yes, God, I'm going to stop making excuses. Yes, God. I'm going to stop denying you. Yes, God, I'm going to do what you have called me to do. Say yes to his will and yes to his way. Say yes to his mission. Not a quiet yes, but a bold yes. Say yes. I'll go where you want me to go. Yes, God, I'm going to do what you've called me to do. Yes, God, I'm going to become who you want me to be. Yes, I'm not going to live in a way to please others, and I'm going to stop living in a way to try to please myself. I'm going to say yes, so my life is pleasing to you. And my brothers and sisters, when you say yes, get ready. Because a yes, God will change your mind. A yes, God will change your heart. A yes to God will change your priorities. It will change your purpose. A yes to God will change your story. A yes to God will move you from struggle to success. A yes to God will move you from a test to a testimony. A yes for God will result in you experiencing a transformation in your life. So don't just hear the call. Answer and say yes. Don't just feel something. Follow the Savior. Don't just come to church. Be the church. Stop making excuses. Stop delaying your obedience. Stop running from your calling and say yes. Because when you say yes to God, you're not losing your life. You'll actually find your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for calling us even when we didn't deserve it. Thank you for speaking to us and giving us ears to hear your voice clearly. Give us the courage to obey you immediately. Give us the humility to be changed by you completely. And give us the boldness to live on mission for you daily. Help us not just to hear your call, but to answer in our lives. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, the church, say amen. Reverend Bell's going to come now and give us our invitation to discipleship. And if you're here today in person or if you're watching, we want to give you an opportunity to say yes to God. Just yes. I don't know what God's going to do, Pastor. Just say yes. I can't figure it out. It's not for you to figure out. It's just for you to say yes right now and let God make you into what he wants you to be. It just takes a yes on your part.
Those of you who will and can, please stand on your feet. We received the clarion call to respond to God with a yes. we can say yes to the things we want to do, things that we like doing. But when it's a yes that convicts you, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer. So somebody today, God has given you a little longer to say yes. And today is a day that you can say yes. You don't have to keep putting it off. Yes, it's Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. That's a good thing. And nothing is better if you just say yes today. God has been calling you. He's been talking to you. You've been hearing it. You've been running from it. But you're here today at 3015 North McGregor. Amen, amen. Come on, sister. Amen, amen. If there's another, come now. Come now. One has already come. So you don't have to be the first one. So just come on now. Say yes today. Don't let the day go by without agreeing with God what you need to do.
From the bottom
of you didn't get here by accident. No, God has you here today.
Of my soul. Yes, Lord.
Completely, yeah, everything. Give God everything. Come on now.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
is there another? You've been pondering on it. You showed up for the late service today for a reason. You're here for a reason. Our pastor has shown you in the Word of God that there's a purpose that God is calling you to. Take the day and say yes. Take the day and say yes, Lord. Lift up your heads, Lord, and let us hear from you right now. Lift up your heads and let us hear from the Lord right now. Stretch your arms out. Let's bless our sister that has come. God, we come now thanking you for our sister that has come, Lord, and we thank you for her boldness. We thank you for her willingness to come and to say yes to you, Lord. And we lift her up to you, Lord. We ask that you give us all we need to help her where she is right now, Lord. Help us to help her meet the needs that she has, Lord. But then most of all, help us to teach her your will and your way so that all things can work together for her. Thank you, Lord, that she came today. And anyone that's still fighting, Lord, we lift them up to you right now. And we pray for them as well, Lord. So thank you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's praise God for our sister. All right. All right. You may be seated. All right, church family.